why do we have election observers or election monitors? And the idea is that they can be a deterrent to corruption or manipulation, that they can maybe persuade actors from using violence, and ultimately they can deliver an assessment on whether the election is free, fair, or credible. And it's been useful in places where there is a level playing field, or where there is has been a slightly unlevel playing field. But in a couple of cases in sub-Saharan Africa, the conclusion is preordained. We know who's going to win because the incumbent has used all the powers of state to manipulate the results, to block candidates, to turn off the internet. And so at the end of the day, the U.S. observer missions or embassy monitors aren't doing very much. They're just part of the landscape. They're, you know, part of the scene, but they aren't actually changing the equation on the ground in a productive way.
You mentioned Ambassador Brown, and so you refer to this so-called Ambassador Brown president, which you cited in your article. You say that if the Biden administration determines that an election will lack transparency, diplomats and international observers should decline to participate in that election. If that is the case, wouldn't this be considered as leaving the chicken coop to the foxes?
I don't think it will. But what it does require, James, it requires thinking ahead of time, leaving this as a possibility that there may not be a U.S. presence if the election has no prospects of being free, fair, or credible. It means working very hard with stakeholders on the ground, with the government, with the opposition, to avoid those consequences. But if the U.S. is there and the process is already going to be deeply flawed, what is the point of remaining when you have no ability to shape it? The conclusion is clear, and the incumbent is going to, by hook or crook, stay in power no matter what. You're just giving legitimacy to elections that are illegitimate.
You mentioned first those elections coming up in Chad and in Benin. Would you like for the U.S. to enforce this so-called Ambassador Brown precedent? And what happens if, say, for example, a country like France, which is the colonial power of these two countries, decides it is going to go ahead to monitor those elections?
Yes, I think that the U.S. shouldn't monitor the elections in Chad and Benin. For your listeners, in Benin, the president has eliminated all of the potential opponents except for two, and he's arrested many of the others. In Chad, there was an attack on one of the opposition leaders, and many of his fellow opposition leaders have now pulled out of the election. Our expectation is in both of these elections, they'll shut off the internet. So I don't see a lot of value in the U.S. participating in either of these elections. And France or ECOWAS or ECAS or the AU may still observe those elections, but they're going to have to answer why when a power like the U.S. has decided there's no prospects for this to be free, fair, or credible.